Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
We begin today in Washington, where the Senate will render a verdict next hour on the impeachment trial of President Trump. He's almost certain to be acquitted in a mostly party-line vote, though former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, now a senator from Utah, just announced that he will vote guilty. The impeachment conclusion comes a day after the president delivered his third State of the Union address. Massachusetts Congresswoman Lori Trahan was in the House chamber for last night's speech, and she joins us now. Congresswoman Trahan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thanks, Callum.
You joined many female members in wearing white, the color of the women's suffrage movement. This has become a tradition at President Trump's State of the Union speeches. And then Trump went on to tout low unemployment for women, and he claimed to be, quote, building the world's most prosperous and inclusive society. So what did you make of his remarks, Congresswoman?
I wasn't surprised. I was incredibly disappointed, but I wasn't surprised by that. I mean, the president, he chose to effectively have a campaign rally in the People's House. And I think the part that was, just more disheartening than usual is that we could have gone through his speech line by line and, in fact, checked it or counted it. I mean, it was essentially a collection of lies, whether he was talking about the reduction of number of people on with SNAP benefits because his administration has kicked them off, to the lip service he, paid to lowering prescription drug prices. I just completed my first year, and we managed to pass 275 bipartisan bills, all while we were holding this administration accountable and leading an impeachment inquiry. So we don't have much use for words; they don't mean that much. Actions do, and this president has little to show for his 3 years in office.
Well, you mentioned the effort to lower drug prices, and that is, at least on its face, a bipartisan goal. Let me play a little bit of what the president said on that point, and then I want to ask you to elaborate.
I'm calling for bipartisan legislation that achieves the goal of dramatically lowering prescription drug prices. Get a bill on my desk, and I will sign it into law immediately. With unyielding commitment, we are curbing the opioid epidemic.
So just what you're hearing in the background there, if it's a little hard to make out, is chants of H.R. 3, which is the Lower Drug Costs Now Act. It passed in the Democratic-controlled House, but it's languishing in the Senate. Congresswoman, explain what the bill would do, and can you Democrats get President Trump on board, do you think?
You bet. So I was one of those people chanting H.R. 3, because when the president says, just put a bill on my desk, and I'll sign it. Well, we've done that. That bill was passed months ago. And what it basically does, it allows Medicare to negotiate directly with drug companies, which is something this president has previously supported. So, this is about, the president kind of working with the Congress on things that he has talked about, whether it's been through his campaign or in, the last two State of the Unions. Those are the two that I've been to. But, look, he lacks credibility on health care. He also stood up there and said he's going to ensure that every person with a pre-existing condition gets to keep their insurance coverage. I mean, Bill Barr is sitting in the room. He's fighting in the Texas courts to take that coverage away. So
to repeal Obamacare, you mean, which, of course, has that protection.
Yes, which would actually take that safeguard from people that have pre-existing conditions. And so, we've been... I was curious about what he was going to say about health care because it's such an important issue, not just to the country. It's absolutely the thing I hear most about when I'm home. But, we will make sure that Mitch McConnell, understands that there's a bill on his desk. We're willing to talk seriously about negotiating on that deal. But it's, we've got 274 other pieces of legislation that he's just let pile up.
Well, related to health care and prescription drugs, let me ask you about the guest you brought to last night's State of the Union. You had Cheryl Jouer with you. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah, so Cheryl is, she's an incredible woman. She lost her son, Corey, to an opioid overdose when he was 23 back in 2011. And she has basically, like so many women that I have met in the last couple of years, dedicates her life to getting rid of stigma so that more people who are struggling with substance use disorder get the treatment that they need, and supports families, not just in Massachusetts or in her hometown of Marlboro, but across the country. She helps people in recovery with the support that they need. And so, you know, I was also interested in what the president was going to say about the opioid epidemic and, you know, the fact that the federal government needs to increase the resources that we're sending to states to combat.
He says he's curbing the opioid epidemic. Is that what you see, or do you disagree?
No, I think that if you talk to any family or any in a city like Lowell or Lawrence or Methuen or Haverhill, you know, no one feels as though we're beating this. You know, while Massachusetts has made, you know, some progress and some investments, you know, this does take the heft of the federal government. And we have a long way to go. You know, I have a bill right now that would make doctors get online training only 8 hours to get so that they can treat patients when someone is in there, in for their visit, right? Right now, we don't have doctors who can actually prescribe medication-assisted treatment because they don't have those tools and that training. So, you know, this is something I know is bipartisan. I go to a weekly breakfast with freshman members from both sides, Republican and Democrat, and this is something that, you know, the president has to step up and you know, help us, you know, get to a deal with you know, real resources behind it.
I wonder, though, Congresswoman, though, as you talk about trying to form a bipartisan consensus on an issue like drug prices, do some of the protests that we saw last night run counter to that notion? I mean, for example, we saw your colleague, Ayanna Pressley, boycott the speech. Representative Seth Moulton walked out. And, of course, in a very sort of theatrical moment, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, ripped up her copies of the president's speech. Is that productive?
You know, I was asked last night about Ayanna. Look, no one blames Ayanna for not going into the chamber to listen to this president's speech. He has repeatedly singled her out, and he's viciously attacked her on Twitter in disturbing ways. And she had every right to boycott that speech, as did other members. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. There were more than a few moments when I wanted to leave because I couldn't stomach some of the you know, the inappropriateness that was happening in the chamber, like the awarding of the Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh. But I'll tell you, you know, I also had this moment where I was sitting amongst my colleagues clad in suffragette white. You know, I did draw a degree of satisfaction knowing that when the president was talking about closing the gender pay gap or paid family leave and all the rest, that he knew in his heart that the driving force behind those achievements were the women in white before him and not himself. And I think that visibility means something to viewers. And look, I also think we have a model for Republicans and Democrats working together. We just passed the USMCA. And let me tell you, when we got that
bill, Mexico-Canada trade agreement, just to fill in the acronym.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that was in the thick of impeachment, right? I mean, we was in you know, from September to December, that working group head by Chairman Neal was really working to get that deal to be something that could actually pass the Congress, right? It was not good for workers or for the environment or for, you know, any of the important stakeholders until Democrats made those improvements. And we got the U.S. Chamber to sign off on it. We got the AFL-CIO to endorse it. So that is the model that we need to use, right? When the president talks about infrastructure, we know the path to getting a good infrastructure deal. We just did it with USMCA. So I think you can do both at the same time. I mean, look, a lot of this is, you know, us working on the ground floor, you know, us not negotiating maybe directly with the president, but with the administration and with Senate Republicans to get things done with the American people. And we have to keep on that.
So let me just ask you in the moment we have left. You do have the New Hampshire primary coming up on the heels of a really disorganized, to say the least, Iowa caucuses. And you've heard, surely, the criticism that perhaps Iowa and New Hampshire shouldn't be first in the nation anymore. Where do you come down on that?
Yeah, so look, our party and our country, you know, it's diverse, and I think our nominating process should reflect that. I completely endorse reevaluating how our nominations happen in a way that elevates all the voices that make up our party's coalition, and that to me is just common sense. You know, I think Monday's chaos does underscore the need to move away from caucuses. I mean, look, we had a transparent caucus, and I think it raised some serious concerns. I know I saw too many videos on Twitter of delegates being awarded by a coin toss. And we're better than that. Who I really feel bad for were the campaigns, the organizers, you know, all those volunteers who have been pouring their blood, sweat, and tears into Iowa for years or months. You know, as you know, I endorsed Senator Warren last year, and, you know, she had a strong showing in Iowa, and she's moving her focus to New Hampshire and beyond with considerable momentum and organizational strength. So I look forward to being in New Hampshire for her this weekend.
All right. Congresswoman Lori Trahan represents the 3rd Massachusetts Congressional District. Congresswoman, thanks again for your time.
Oh, thank you, Callum. Take care.